ABC Radio Australia.
There's mounting pressure on Tonga's king to respond to multiple petitions that are calling on him to dissolve the country's parliament and set up a royal commission to investigate various allegations, including corruption within the government. At least three petitions have now been received by the royal palace this week, the largest being one from the general public that has at least 10,000 signatures on it. The others come from former politicians and the Tongan nobles, and they're in support of that public petition. The noble MP, Lord Fusitua, has thrown his support behind the cause. Here he is.
These petitioners have listed, not allegations, all the grounds of their petition are cases that have already been heard, either by tribunals or in court, and verdicts have been given where government has been found guilty. There are no in the air floating sort of allegations that need processing and investigating. All their grounds are proven instances of breaches of by the government. Our traditional role as noble is as custodians of the land and custodians of the people. So what our petition says is that whatever it is that this 40,000 of your subjects desire, sire, we have their back. We endorse them because our role as nobles is when our people cry out that they are in pain or being hard done by, our role as nobles is to protect them and try and find a solution to whatever their concerns may be.
That's Noble MP Lord Fusitua there on Tonga. There have been several petitions circulating in the past year, all with similar demands, but this latest is believed to be the largest. They've all happened in the context that the Tongan king, Tupou VI, did make history in 2017 when he did dissolve parliament and he ordered new elections be held a year earlier than planned. Now, that came after the Prime Minister, Akilisi Pohiva, who is a former pro-democracy activist, had faced months of pressure over his leadership and accusations of nepotism, incompetence and financial mismanagement. Here's Lord Fusitua again.
I don't see how His Majesty could possibly, unless there are external reasons that there have been threats by the current government that they'll stage a coup, save those concerns. I can't see how much that there would be too much choice that His Majesty would have other than to implement what the majority of his country, this is basically a referendum. So what the results of a referendum are seeking that he do.
Well, Dr. Malachi Kolomatangi is from Massey University in New Zealand. He's an expert on Tongan law and politics, and I spoke with him a short time ago for his thoughts.
Well, we understand these petitioners are calling for the king to dissolve parliament, set up a royal commission so it can investigate the allegations of corruption, misuse of government resources, etc. Under Tonga's constitution, does the king have the power to do that?
The king, under the Tonga constitution, can do anything. In the sort of pre-2010 period, the king would have been able to do anything unilaterally. That means that he wasn't asked to rely on, say, the Prime Minister's advice to before making a decision. But after 2010, and during 2010 reforms, the king, to a certain extent, may, if he wishes, ask for advice, and he has a privy council that can advise him. I mean, he can ask the Prime Minister. In fact, he can ask anyone. But on the other hand, the king can act unilaterally, continue to act unilaterally using the constitutional prerogative that he still has. Now, of course, that prerogative was meant to be used lawfully, obviously, and constitutionally, but, you know, there is nothing to stop His Majesty from acting by himself.
And so, in your opinion, what's the likelihood that he might do so this time round? Because when he did in 2007, it did come somewhat as a surprise because it at that time wasn't motivated by any sort of petition and there wasn't necessarily the such vocal public outcry, but it had just come after a conversation that he had, I believe, with the Speaker of Parliament.
Yeah, look, I think from a constitutional perspective, of course, the king can do it. I mean, he did it in 2017. He can do it this year now, if he wished. Politically, it is, I think, more sensitive now than it was in 2017. As you say, it came as a surprise, and from a political perspective, that was probably good for His Majesty, because it took people by surprise. Now people perhaps are expectant of him to do that. Before he can do that, I think, or before he will do it, if he wanted to do it, attempts to dissolve parliament and call for fresh elections, and of course to institute this royal commission that petitioners are asking for. I think he has to be, in his own mind, he has to be careful that he has just the support of the people, and that if he were going to do it, that he is not compromised in any way, in terms of the people's perceptions.
Well, thousands of people have signed their names up to these various petitions. What do you think the implications are? What might those people do from here if the king doesn't act and respond as they want?
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, the petitions and the sort of protests and demonstrations before Democrats took over and government were, of course, the other way. So there's the pendulum has swung almost to the other extreme, in that I'm sure the pro-democracy supporters don't want the king to act, whereas, of course, before they wanted him to act to reform the political system. If the tens of thousands, out of the 10,000 signatories, if they don't get at least a clear answer, maybe not to the extent that the king does what they wish him to do, but at least to show or to respond in an effective way to say, look, I've heard your grievances, and these are the things that I'm proposing to do in a practical sense. So, and I'm not just talking, but certainly instituting some kind of solution. These things will not go away, and the longer you leave them unchecked or and not dealing with them, of course, the more they will grow.